The Steelers have a 53-man roster for now, and Ray Fittipaldo joining us now to get into it. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Ray is brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Good morning to you, Ray. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're very good.
Very.
We're very good. There's some guy out there window washing, and it has delighted Callis in a way that I don't think window washing should ever delight anybody, but
it's
hey.
It's making a big boom sound.
to each their own. Yep. Ray, any surprises yesterday? Any surprising cuts? Any surprising keeps in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, guys, I think we do have to keep in mind that this is the initial 53-man roster. I think anyone who has followed this team this summer knows probably at least a few moves are coming. But I'll tell you one surprise keep for me is Jalen Elliott, the safety out of Notre Dame. He's been around for like 2 or 3 years now. He was added, I think, 2 weeks into camp. I mean, he wasn't even on the 93-man roster, obviously. A guy who performed well on special teams. We'll see if he sticks around, but that's the one guy that surprised me a little bit yesterday.
Ray, you said that you expect some moves to be made to add to this roster as these days do go on. What are those moves, and who are some of the names out there that we could pay attention to?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, Dorn. You know, are you going to look at the waiver wire, or are you maybe going to make a deal with another team? I'm still looking at slot corner. I don't know that they're going to go into the season with Beanie Bishop. We'll see about that. I think they could use some depth on the outside as well. They kept Darius Rush and Corey Trace. Between those two guys, there's 33 snaps of NFL experience between them. Obviously receiver is another position there. We can go down the list of receivers, guys who were cut yesterday. Kadarius Toney, Tim Patrick was let go. A bunch of guys.
Noah Brown. Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, I don't know about Martavis, but if it was Martavis 4 or 5 years ago, I'd say yeah. But at this point now, I think we're going to find out if the Steelers really do think. If they're going to get Ayuk, if they don't think so, they're probably going to sign one of these guys or claim one of these guys. And, if they don't, it probably means they still think they're in the Ayuk sweepstakes.
Great. Ray, you brought up in our last conversation that you thought there was a possibility of Roman Wilson potentially starting the season on IR. He didn't yesterday. So do you still think that's a possibility?
No, I think they would have done it yesterday.
Okay.
They had two IR, basically two free IR designated two returns, and they used one on Jeremiah Moon and they used the other on Dylan Cook. So, to me, Roman Wilson hasn't practiced in a month. He's probably going to be inactive for the first few games of the season until he gets his legs under him. That's another reason, guys, where I think a receiver has to be added. I mean, you're looking at basically having four receivers at your disposal for the opener. So I think a move is definitely coming there.
Ray, with Faltano possibly being healthy to start the opener against Atlanta at right tackle, could Broderick Jones really be in jeopardy of not starting at left tackle and Dan Moore Jr. being the left tackle?
I think that could be a possibility at some point, Doran, but I think with Faltano not practicing this week, I don't think they're going to throw him back in there and have him start the opener after having missed 3 weeks and only practice him for like 3 or 4 days next week. I don't think they would do that. But if you're looking at Faltano getting healthy, say by week two or week three, then yeah, I think we're definitely going to have that conversation. We talked to Broderick Jones yesterday. He hasn't repped at all on the left side in practices since Faltano was injured. He's been all on the right side. Now, he said a few pre-snap, a few post-snaps, doing his sets at left tackle, but nothing in team period. So, that tells me that they think he's going to be on the right side, for a while. And, I know he's a good athlete. I know he's versatile. But when he does make that move, I think he's going to need a week 2 weeks, 3 weeks just to get the footwork down.
Are they screwing him up, man?
It's hard for me to sit here and say that, Adam, just because of the injuries that they've had. I do think his versatility works against him a little bit. You know, you look at Dan Moore is sitting pretty being the left tackle because he can't play on the right side. So they know they can't move him. And I don't want to disparage Dan Moore, but he's had a good camp, but he can only play one side. And by Broderick Jones being able to, you know, do both sides, you know, his versatility, unfortunately for him, has kind of, put him in this position. So I don't want to say they're screwing him over, but I'm anxious to see how this plays out because I don't think it's going to be a great deal for Broderick once Faletano is healthy.
Ray, do you think there's a possibility that we'll see Justin Fields outside of the role of quarterback? Like with the packages, not just third and one, not just gadget quarterback plays where he's, read optioning or just running the football, but maybe as a running back or a wide receiver, the true slash role?
Yeah, we haven't seen that at all, Doran, but, you know, obviously that doesn't mean anything. They can install that this week or next week, and, they could be off and running with that. I think the more likely scenario would be for Justin to have a package as a quarterback, you know, put some read option in there, maybe do some design runs with him, things like that. So I think that's where you take advantage of his skill set the most. But I think that's coming. Not necessarily as a running back or a receiver, but I do think they will do certain things to get him in the football game as a weapon for their offense.
Ray, I think we agree that the roster is better than last year. They've overhauled the quarterback room. I just like this roster better. Patrick Queen comes in. I think he got a better safety tandem than last year. But not comparing it to last year, just comparing it to the rest of the league, do you think the Steelers have a good roster, great roster, mid roster, bad roster? How do you evaluate it?
I think they have very strong position groups at outside linebacker. The defensive line has been a pleasant surprise for me. I think the running back room is in really good shape. But then I look at these other positions, you know, the secondary. I already detailed how thin they are there. The offensive line being in flux and being so young is worrisome to me. So if I look at it overall in the totality of the entire roster, I would say it's average, maybe a little bit above average. And you know how it goes. If your quarterback plays well, that probably means you're going to make the playoffs. But listen, if they get hit by injuries in the secondary, if they get hit by injuries in the receiver room, it's going to be hard for them to compete. So that's why I think moves are coming here in the next couple of days.
Any reason to be worried about JPJ dealing with an injury?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Joey since his injury. We'll see if he talks today or next week. We've been led to believe that it is minor. They're resting a lot of guys this week. Corey Trice is being rested. He's on the 53. So this is kind of like a get right week where it's low intensity practices. A lot of guys being held out. So right now it doesn't seem like it's anything major.
Ray, when Caboli wasn't around, did you cry?
A little bit. I did shed a tear, but it was what? 1 week and he's back on his feet. So
that's right. You got anything else for Ray,
I'm
Mr.
Good.
Dickerson?
I'm good.
Ray, this was wonderful. Next week, guess what? We'll be previewing a game with you, buddy, and we cannot wait for that.
Let's go.
Mountaineers. Thank you, Ray.
All right, see you guys.
See you, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's a reflex. There's nothing I can do about that. That's like when a doctor hits you with that rubber little mallet thing.
Yeah, or you say that Tim Lester died, and you're like, love that.
Yeah, bad non sequitur by me.
Love
I'll have to own that. And if they fire me for it, I understand. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We're old guys now. You know, we're young old. We're getting to middle age.
Yep.
There are things that amuse Callis that we just aren't amused by at all. He was delighted, titillated, excited about this window washer during the break. It made a big boom. Did you guys see the window washer?
Then he called you mean. Washer.
Yeah, he called me mean for not being as excited about him.
You know what's going to make me even more excited? When I make the social media video you celebrating someone's passing.
That's not what I did. It just sounds like that's what I did. John Wehner at the bottom of the hour. A couple of weeks ago, John kind of went viral for being critical of guys not busting their hump. Well, now I'm very excited about this segment because we're going to get to talk to him about O'Neal Cruz. What does Wehner think about the Pirates' potential superstar shortstop switching positions? We'll talk to him at 8:35. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Up next, though, we'll react to Ray. We'll evaluate the Steelers roster ourselves. John Wehner going to join us in 13 minutes talking about Cruz's transition to center field. Cruz, who went 4-for-4 last night and has an OPS over 900 since July. Cal is still in the other room excited about window washers. Buildings getting washed today, and someone texts in, now a topless window washer would be exciting. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. So I Googled that. Probably shouldn't be Googling topless window washers on a company server here. That's not a business that's been invented. I feel like we got to get in on the ground floor, pun intended, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Start a topless window washing company?
Not bad.
And it could be men and women. We're not sexist here. We could have hunky men do it, too, depending on who's in your building, what you're looking for. I think that's a hell of an idea.
Even though that these people were from the ground and they had just a long pole, you couldn't see them.
That's what made it impressive
to me. Long poles? You could hire guys with long poles.
Mm. Oh, I get it, because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to be equal opportunity here.
Yes.
I don't only want it to be beautiful women topless washing the windows. You also got to have men involved, too.
But would it be illegal if women did that?
That's probably why it hasn't happened. Yeah, that would be a public indecency, I think, would be the charge there. Yeah.
Yes.
You definitely have to get a permit first.
Yes.
All right. So those are the hoops that are unable to be jumped through. Okay. Callis makes a really good point there. This isn't Europe. In Europe, perhaps, you could have topless window washers.
Correct.
But maybe not here in the United States. Still a great business idea nonetheless, I think. My old building, they'd come up there on those hanging things.
Yes.
What are those called? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Scary as hell.
Bungee cords or whatever.
Yeah, it's a really scary job.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. You probably get paid a lot.
I'm sure you do. You're risking life and limb. Mm-hmm. Imagine putting that harness on with no top on.
Seems safer the way they did it this morning.
Yeah, they just have the long pole. They just reach up. Squeech, 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 squeech. Enough on window washing. John Wehner going to join us at 8:35. I was trying to keep Callis happy there.
He's happy. Look, he's giggling.
He's giggling.
He's literally giggling.
No, I love Doran because he's got the straight demeanor, and I feel like I have an uncanny ability to break him mm-hmm. with simple stuff.
You do. We were talking during the break about you going through a car wash, and you're probably like, ooh, look at the suds.
Ooh, it smells good,
this
too.
This is wonderful. Oh, my
Tony
gosh.
Goes through the wet go on X. I love that.
Is that? Do you like that?
I love, because I don't care what he says. I just watch the car wash.
Texter, okay, we're pivoting. Bikinis.
I was going to say that.
Bikinis and speeders, but you didn't want to go down the path anymore.
Exactly.
You wanted to be done with window washing talk. Apparently, there was a scantily clad haircut place downtown back in the day.
Oh.
Kind of like Hooters, but for getting your hair cut.
Okay.
So you're getting the shampoo, and they got the Hooters thing going on.
Yeah. Never mind.
You want to punt?
Sure.
It's fourth down. You just want to kick the ball off, get as far away from this as possible? Okay, fair enough. So, Ray Fittipaldo, he says the Steelers roster, in his estimation, average to above average. Fair?
Yes.
I think they're a little better than that.
Average to above average, they're right there. I mean, if they'd be above average where you're probably going, if they did have a significant, if they had Deontay Johnson, I think they'd be above average. Not even IU.
I just think about last year, and they're 10-7, and we know what quarterbacks they had. I think you get there on the strength more than anything else of the rest of your roster, and you do subtract Deontay Johnson, but you add a couple of high-pedigree offensive linemen. You add, hopefully, a difference maker in the middle of the field in Patrick Queen. You add a safety that I think is pretty good and has gone under the radar all year. You're going into year two with Joey Porter Jr., expectations that he's going to get better. You should be better at the other corner spot with Dante Jackson than with Patrick Peterson. I think they're better than last year, and last year they dragged that quarterback situation to the playoffs at 10-7.
Okay, but I mean, we were being fooled last year because everybody else is getting better this year. There's no Joe Burrow last year. You only faced Lamar Jackson once, and you faced Deshaun Watson once.
A valid retort by you.
And that's just in the division.
Yeah, you go 5-1 in the division, I would bet a lot of money that they're not going to go 5-1 in the division this year, even though they're a better team. You could be a better team and finish with a worse record this year based on your schedule. Absolutely, that could happen. They ran into an awful lot of luck last year. Yeah, Pirates, better team, better rotation, and they're probably going to finish with a worse record. And their schedule has been brutal. That is fair. You got one of the best players in the world on the edge in T.J. Watt. I think Nick Herbig's a better player now than he was last year. I look around and I think that they've upgraded in a lot of positions. And you're right, a lot of teams around the league are going to feel that way. That's what the offseason's for. Most teams don't come out of the offseason going, oh, darn it, we got worse. But you're going to find teams that do perform worse from one year to the next.
Okay, but they upgraded a lot of positions, but did they really upgrade, or they upgraded from what they had last year? That's the difference. Like, are they real upgrades, or is it just an upgrade from how bad the play was at the certain positions last year?
You're right. Better than last year doesn't mean that you've got an above-average roster.
Right.
It just means that you're better than last year. It's fair. I think they have an above-average roster. And we're splitting hairs here. I mean, no one's going to sit here and say they've got a good to great roster because of the holes they have. And even though they did upgrade at quarterback, when we went through that whole list earlier on in the show, ESPN had 103 NFL players polled talking about quarterbacks, and neither of the Steelers' quarterbacks that could start games this year even got mentioned, which means they are largely afterthoughts, according to players in the NFL. We know all the talking heads on ESPN love to talk about the Steelers' quarterback situation, because the Steelers are always going to move the needle. But these QBs, afterthoughts. I just think you go 10-7 last year, and maybe it's fluky, like you're saying with the injury luck you got. But because they're better at the position this year, maybe you do get to around 10-7, and you legitimize your roster, and you battle through not getting that luck, but you're good enough to win some more games. People on the text line absolutely agree with you, saying that this is an average to maybe above average roster.
Yeah.
Agree with Ray Fittipaldo.
Yeah.
Texter, no, it's not against the law for women not to wear a shirt. Indecent exposure only involves south of the border. Is that true?
I don't know.
That's not true.
I don't think you can walk down the street topless. I think you can in New York.
I don't know.
Callis, Google it.
I don't know.
Do it on your account, not mine. I don't want to be Googling that stuff again here on the internet. All right, up next, John Wehner going to join us. Maybe we'll see if he thinks topless window washing is a good idea. One of our favorite dudes, John Wehner, on the line right now, brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Try the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET for a free estimate. Wehner also brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Good morning to you, John. How you doing today?
I am super. How are you guys?
Outstanding?
Great.
Terrific?
Fantastic.
Wow.
Excellent.
You can hear it in your voices.
We have to amuse each other. All right, John. So, you know the big question here coming. O'Neal Cruz moving to center field. Why narrow it down? Just give us your thoughts.
It's funny because over the weekend, I don't know why, I saw Cincinnati hit a fly ball to left center in front of the track, and I actually said what I was thinking. I said I would love to see O'Neal Cruz out there to see if they would tag from second to third. Huh. And it's the first time I've ever said anything about it. And then I hear the whispers that they might try him out in center field. I'm okay with it. I'm not, and I guess for more reasons than one. I know he has struggled at times at shortstop. Obviously, I still thought that he could be a major league shortstop. I thought if he, kind of cleaned up some things, like I said before, a handful of his errors or throws from the outfield on relays. I thought he moved pretty well for a big man. There were times where you wondered if he had that internal clock to where he knew when to speed up, when to slow down. And so there were certain situations where I thought he needed to improve on. Situational stuff, knowing where the ball's going before it's hit the things like that. So there was things I thought he could work on to be a major league shortstop, and I thought he did okay. I mean, everybody wants to talk about the 24 errors or however many it was, but I still thought that he did okay at short. I love the fact I'm looking forward to seeing him in center field. He's athletic enough, he's fast enough, and certainly his arm could be a game changer. The reason why I'm okay with it, I guess, more than any other is because it seems like we don't have a lot of outfield depth, and it seems like we have a ton of infield depth. I mean, it's kind of been a problem getting offense from the center field position. Until we got De La Cruz, we struggled in right field as well. And then there's first base where Rowdy came on after a couple months. But to me, I thought you needed another outfielder. And it seems like we got guys like IKF and Nick Gonzalez and, you know, Triolo and when Hayes comes back or what have you. And then there's a bunch of guys, it seems like, in the minor leagues that could play in the middle and play short. And so for me, get him out there now, see what it looks like. You know, let him finish out the year. I think he's a good enough athlete where he'll be fine. It's just about reads. I think center is easier than the corners. You don't have to deal with the lights. You don't deal with as much slice or hook. The ball's pretty true out there, and he can use his speed and athleticism and roam around. But I'm okay with it. I really am. Hopefully he you know, works hard at it and takes it seriously enough to go out there and do it. Because I think he could be a better defensive center fielder than he was a shortstop.
John, can you explain the dynamics of communication as a center fielder with the right fielder, the left fielder? And can O'Neill Cruz handle that? Can he develop that part of his game where he is the guy, he is the general out there calling guys off or saying me, the things of that nature that we've seen him not be able to really do at shortstop? What are the true dynamics out there?
Center fielder has priority over everybody, over the corners, over the infielders. So anytime he's going to be under the ball, and that's going to be the key, is like, you know, he's going to have to realize that he can get everything that he can get to. Now, there's times where I've seen center fielders go and take balls from the left fielder to right fielder, but, you know, there's times where you're going to, with experience, I think he's going to realize how far he needs to go and what he should go get and what he should let go. But, he's just got to be verbal. He's just got to be verbal, and when he can get to a ball, he's got to scream, you know, I got it. And here's the other thing that kind of is a pet peeve of mine, especially at the major league level when you have so many fans in the outfield. You don't have that in the minor leagues. You have it in the major leagues. You got to scream on the ball. Like that whole Houston thing where he ran into Reynolds, you know, they're right near the third base stands. Then there's the Crawford boxes behind them. If you're not screaming loud as the ball's coming down, you're not going to hear one another. So that's the other thing. The way you communicate, I think, is always key in the outfield, because you can't, as the ball's at the top of its flight, say, I got it, and then stop yelling. It's more important to call it on its way down, and you got to get louder the closer it gets to you, because especially on the road, the fans are pretty loud, and sometimes you can't hear your other outfielders or your infielders. So yeah, but that's the thing. What he got to go get, he got to call. And calling it late is better than calling it early, because a lot of times the other guys can't hear you. And especially coming in, that could be tough sometimes, because you're running on a ball that's just outside the infield, and there might be an infielder camped, but you're running in and you think you can catch it, because you do have to peek down and look at the infielder to make sure he's camped. But if that infielder's moving, then you call him off. But there are some instances where, you know, it's kind of iffy as far as what you go for. You know, there's times you see infielders that are under the ball, they're camped and they're calling it, I got it, or waving their hands or whatever. Then you see the outfielder come barreling in and try to make a sliding play when it was a routine play. But again, with experience and reps, you're going to be able to handle that a little bit better. But yeah, he has control over everybody. When he can get to, he can call everybody off. And then I think the more he experiences it, the better it'll be for it.
I think under discussed now, because of the position change, because of the errors for a while at shortstop, is just how well he's hitting, John. He goes 4-for-4 last night. He's all of a sudden hitting lefties really well. And you look at his numbers, it's his first full season in Major League Baseball. I think he's had a really good year at the plate.
He's had a great year. There's times you're going to expect some more power. But we're seeing more contact recently, and I think that's the key. This guy hits the ball so hard. When he shortens up his swing and puts bat on ball, he's going to get more hits, plain and simple, because his ground ball to the right side is different than most ground balls to the right side. You hit a ground ball to the right side 95, there's a good chance somebody's going to catch it. He's hitting ground balls through at 113. You don't have time to get in front of it. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, very good, especially against lefties, because you had to wonder there for a while, you know, about halfway through the season, is he going to be a platoon guy, you know? And you don't want your everyday shortstop, you know, not facing lefties. And so he's proving he can hit lefties. I think the consistency's there. And for me, the contact, you know, you don't see as much swing and miss, as much strikeout. And with that, the average is going to go up, and eventually the power is going to go up as well.
John, do you anticipate the Pirates making any other moves or position changes? Maybe Joey Bart, whenever he is healthy, playing some first base and seeing what that could look like for next year?
That's a good question, actually. I never even considered that.
The actually is a little rude there, John. Of course it's a great question from Doran.
Yeah, I didn't know. Does he played first before?
Catcher.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I know he's a catcher, but I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I never thought of him as a first baseman. And I don't think it's that easy for a catcher. If you've never played first base before, just like if you're a catcher and you're playing right field, if you never played it before, it's not the same. It's not that it's not an easy transition going from behind the plate at first base. Obviously, you know, it's happened before, and some catchers have been pretty good over there. But that, yeah, if we get into a situation where Henry Davis is hitting, Andy Rodriguez is back, and you got two good catchers that are hitting and need to be in a lineup, you got to find somebody else a position if Joey Bart's going to continue to hit the way he is. Because right now, Joey Bart's our everyday catcher next year, as far as I'm concerned. Unless he can go play another position. And I never even considered that, because to me, that would be their biggest need going into next year. You got to go out and find a first baseman, and it might be in Joey Bart. I like that.
Yes.
John, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Take care.
Thank you, Rock.
Thank you, John.
John Wehner.
He did like that.
He did. Has he played any first base? Catcher. Had me weak, man. Here's a guarantee. I'm going to make Doran laugh in exactly 10 seconds.
No way.
I'm going to make you laugh in exactly 10 seconds. Some audio came out yesterday of O'Neill Cruz in center field practicing, calling off his fielders. And we have that audio for you right now, Doran. I got him. Coming up next, it is our great sponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun, brought to you by Champ Tires. This sponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun is brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. And I remind you that the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. There's a guy that's been texting us every morning, and I haven't read the text. And he has gone full into this thing today. And I just can't believe that people obsess over things like this. Texter, I have texted you numerous times about Joey Porter Jr. not putting his mouthpiece in his mouth, and you refuse to comment on the air about it. It's an idiotic trend in the NFL to dangle a mouthpiece from a face mask. Mouthpieces prevent concussions. Joey Porter Jr. has suffered concussions. Why do the Steelers not insist that he puts the thing in his mouth? Why doesn't the NFL make it a rule? The NFL cares about safety, right? This needs to be discussed. It is a critical issue. I guarantee you, if we rewind about 10, 12 years on the old text line, my man was mad that Pedro Alvarez was wearing a baseball cap that went over his ears. Yes. Just taking a guess on that.
Yes. I never wore a mouthpiece.
I mean, to each their own.
I mean, you don't have to.
If you don't wear a mouthpiece, you don't wear a mouthpiece. If you wear a mouthpiece, you wear a mouthpiece. What's the big deal? Relax.
He's like, I've texted you numerous times.
Like you
have the answer for it. Like, what?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write South Water Street, care of Joey Porter Jr. Mr. Porter Jr., please wear your mouthpiece. Sincerely, Steelers Nation, we wouldn't want you to get a concussion.
Yes.
I mean, get the heck out of here.
You know, the guys wear two mouthpieces now.
You got dudes wearing two? Who's wearing two?
Some people.
You don't know.
Yeah. You know the pacifier mouthpiece that has like the rim around it?
Yeah.
I've seen guys that have a white one and maybe like a blue one just hanging there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Double mouthpiece.
And they'll put one in and let one hang.
Well, maybe that's the real problem. Maybe there's not enough mouthpieces to go around.
Probably. He takes them all.
Yeah, Joey Porter Jr. doesn't have a mouthpiece because some dude you're talking about has them all.
Right.
My brother-in-law, when he was a baby, used to have two binkies in his mouth at all times.
How?
Two. One on one side, one on the other. Just drooling everywhere like a monster. One ta-ta wasn't enough. He needed double ta-tas up in there.
Does he chew?
Tobacco?
Yeah.
He zins.
Yeah.
But who doesn't?
Maybe a little fixation there. I don't know.
A little oral fixation, you're saying? The drooly kid.
You know? You remember? You remember him being drooly?
I saw all the videos. Just slobbery little kid. Just drool everywhere. Which, when it's your kid, it's not gross. Like, when my kids, they got all the crustacean stuff coming. Yeah. It's not that bad. If another kid has a nasty, runny, caked-on, boogery nose, I think it's the grossest thing in the world.
Yep.
And another kid's baby is slobbery. It's nasty to me. I did want to bring up Connor Stallion's documentary on Netflix. Did you see that?
No.
Connor Stallion's the guy who was camped out on other sidelines cheating for Michigan. They made a documentary on Netflix. I am going to watch it. What I have read in the reviews is that you learn nothing new. It actually humanizes Connor Stallion's a little bit. And this was authorized by Stallion's. That to me is not a real documentary. That to me is public relations, where Connor Stallion's trying to get on the right side of this and save his own face at the expense of Michigan football. I'll watch it. I'll give you a more thorough review. But I am looking forward to checking that out probably tonight on the Netflix, Dorn.
Yeah, it'll probably be all positive things of making him look good and making it look like it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't my fault. It was all Harbaugh, which he absolutely knew as well. And some are suggesting they should have their national title vacated because, you know, you could just take those things away. That's the unsponsored football segment that's actually sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Coming up next, Doug Whaley joins us in studio for an hour. Doug brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Right now, fan weather, it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 94.